Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My subject is milk or meat faith. You may be seated. I've got faith. And faith has gotten me everything that I have, caused me to do everything that I've done. I've got several pastors that are always talking to me about, man, you got a lot of faith. That encourages me because I want to have faith at a genius level, genius faith. I want to have millionaire faith, I mean rich faith. I want to have overachiever faith, home run faith. I want to have PhD faith. I want to have hyper faith. Somebody said to Brother Hagin, said, you're hyper faith. He said, oh, no, I'm not. I'm super hyper faith. Super hyper faith. But the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God produces faith. Now, there are similar things to faith. There's positive thinking, just having a good mental attitude. But these things are not faith. They're the world's attempt at it. They're humanistic attempt at it. But real faith is a divine thing. The Bible said God gives every man a measure of faith. So all real faith comes from God. God is a faith God. He's a faith God. And he wants to project that into us, pass it down to us. And so the word produces faith. Let me say this and listen to this. The word does not produce the same degree of faith in everyone. It's the same word, the same faith, but it's not the same degree of faith. It depends on the individual. I want faith that I can believe God. Oh, praise God. Brother Hagin's favorite verse. I don't know why he wasn't even on my mind until I sat down in that pew a while ago and I put this verse down because this was his favorite verse. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's the kind of faith I want. You know, real faith is priceless. Real faith, I mean real faith that can produce, real faith that can create. Those things that you desire, that you can believe, you desire them, you believe, you pray, and you actually have them. That faith would be priceless. It's the reason why crackpots and charlatans and witches and all kinds of people can delude people and make money. Is because they can convince them that they can do that for them. If you call me and at, you know, for $10 a minute or whatever, I'll speak this into your life. That's just a bunch of malarkey. It's just the demons trying to deceive people. But if you have the real move of faith in your life, the real word of faith in your life, the real gift of faith in your life, that you desire something, and you begin to pray about it, and in just a short while, you have what you're praying about because you have the working of faith inside of you. Well, that comes from the Word of God. It doesn't just come from a good feeling or a song. It doesn't come just because you've got some kind of a special gimmick in yourself. It comes from the Word of God. The Word of God produces faith. But unfortunately, the word does not produce the same degree of faith in everyone because there are some real factors, some real contributors to how much the word of God can do in your life. The Bible said of those that had unbelief in the Bible that it made their faith to none effect. In actuality, it's saying their faith dwindled. They started with a measure of faith. The Bible said every man was given a measure of faith, but by the time they got to the age of accountability or adulthood, their faith had diminished to where their unbelief made the Word of God to none effect. And so the Word of God, as it becomes incorporated in your life, it produces faith. If it's not incorporated in your life, when he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. What the Spirit is saying is the will of God or the Word of God every time. The Spirit of God says nothing outside of the will of God or outside of the Word of God. It's always going to be what God's will and God's Word. They're the same. God's will and God's Word are identical. They're the same thing. They're synonymous. They cannot be different. And so the writer of Hebrews, let me read this to you to kind of set a... I've got a lot of material here, but I don't have to tell it all tonight. Some of you are going to come back next time, and I'm going to be here next time. So I'll just tell you a little of it tonight. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So he said, some of you are milk Christians, and some of you are meat Christians. Some of you are milk word Christians. Some of you are meat word Christians. Some of you are milk faith Christians, and some of you are meat faith Christians. And so milk word produces milk faith. What do you mean about it? What do you mean about milk word? The Lord is my shepherd. That's the 23rd Psalm is the most revered, loved, practiced, quoted, memorized portion of Scripture in the entire Bible. You know the reason why? Because it doesn't require one thing of you. That is a perfect example of the milk word. And that's where this whole generation of church is. I'm not just talking about young people, I'm talking about old people. All of us, this church generation, not talking about a age group, but this church generation, we're really overdosed on the milk part of the Word of God. And we want milk word, but we want meat faith. We want to be able to say to that devil, go, and that devil goes. We want to be able to say to that cancer, go, and that person is immediate. You can't do that with milk faith. You have to have meat faith to have that, and you can't have meat faith without meat word. And so we're living in a very superficial Christian generation, and yet they want the very best of God and the depth of God. Milk word produces milk faith. In other words, promise word. We overdose on the promises. That's the milk of God's word. And the promises are yea and amen. And there are thousands of those promises. And many people today, especially in I'm talking primarily, I'm not talking about Catholics. That's a whole different deal. I'm talking about my people, what I would call my people, which is not white people. My people are not a color. My people are God's people. I don't care what color you are. If you're a heathen, you're not my people. If you're God's person, if you are full blood any color, or you're a mix of every color, I don't care. You're my people. So my people are the Pentecostal people and the charismatic. My people are the tongue-talking people. You know, I get with somebody. If I was a young man coming to San Antonio today, first thing I would do is get me a tutor, and I would become fluent in Spanish. And so when some of you Hispanic people get together and you start talking Spanish, I just feel left out. I just feel like I ain't your people. So my people are not English-speaking people. My people are tongue-talking people. That's my first language. English is my second language. Speaking in tongues is my first language. And so my people are Pentecostal, charismatic. Anybody that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're my people. So that's what I'm talking about tonight, is I'm talking about my people. And so my people have just fixated on the promises of God, which are wonderful, because I do that every day of my life. I claim the promises of God, And it's amazing how many of those promises have manifested in my life. It's just hard to find a promise in the Bible that I don't have at least part of, if I don't have all of it. It's manifest in my life. Just health and healing and prosperity and joy, peace, redemption, restoration. Just go down the lines of promises and praise God. If I hadn't ate the whole thing, I've cut up most of it and got it down. And praise God, it changed my life when I began to latch on to the promises of God. The promises of God. But the promise word is really milk word. Because we just fixate on what God said He would do for us. And nothing about what we need to do to qualify, or what we need to do for others, or what we need to do for the kingdom of God, or what we need to do for ourselves. Now, meat word produces meat faith. But the only promise with that, that's commandment word. And we don't like those commandments. We don't even have 10 commandments anymore. We have 10 suggestions. People just don't like, they just kind of stiffen up if you talk about the commandments of God. But now there's all kinds of faith in the Bible. There's growing faith, great faith. That's what I'm aspiring to. You know, that's probably a pretty lofty aspiration. When you consider the fact that all the thousands of people that Jesus dealt with, only two of them did He identify as having great faith. And yet that's what I'm aspiring for. I've got big faith. I've got a home run faith, but I want more faith. I want to just desire something, pray about it, and possess it. I not only want that for me, I want that for other people that maybe don't have as much faith as I have. Pitiful people, people that are sick that I meet, people that are broke that I meet. I want my faith to be a contagious faith. I want my faith to be a faith that causes people to covet my faith. They want to emulate my faith. They see what it's doing in my life, and they say, I want that kind of faith. How do I get that faith? And I want to be able to instruct them on how to go from no faith to great faith. And so there's growing faith, there's great faith, there's unwavering faith, there's strong faith, there's historical faith, there's active faith, there's genuine faith, there's a measure of faith, there's little faith, there's weak faith. There's a lot more than that. When you go through the Bible and start studying on all the different kinds of faith. But let's just take one of these tonight, just one of these. Let's just take growing faith. Now, I find this very exciting. I'm going to give you the verse for it. I find it very exciting, very exciting. You know, when you get older, there's a little sadness to it. When you realize you can't jump as high as you used to jump, you can't run as fast as you used to, you can't hit a ball as far as you can. There's just a lot of things that you realize are gone. But in spiritual realms, that's never, ever true. And so no matter where you are tonight in life, spiritually, you might be what we used to call old-timers. You might have had the truth and been saved for 40 years. Or maybe you just got saved this past Sunday. No matter where you are, you have some element of faith in your life. You wouldn't be sitting up straight. You wouldn't be in a pew tonight. You wouldn't even be here tonight. You wouldn't be looking forward. You wouldn't have aspiration if you didn't have some degree of faith. But the exciting thing to me is, after I have achieved so many things through faith, is to realize that I have not arrived yet. Like the Apostle Paul, I count myself not to have apprehended the great faith that is available to me. I believe there's a whole realm out there that I've never, ever experienced. I've done a lot of things. I remember when things used to excite me that I just can't get that excited about them anymore. I used to get excited when I was a little boy. I used to get so excited about Christmas I couldn't sleep. But really, I'm just not that excited. I mean, I enjoy Christmas, but I can sleep, believe me. I can sleep Christmas Eve just like a puppy dog. I mean, I can just lay down and sleep, and I don't have to get up for days. I get older sometimes. I used to just get so excited about getting a new suit. I remember when I used to be excited about getting a new car. Don't excite me than anymore. I'm pleased about, but I'm not that excited. I mean, my heart's not beating faster. My palms are not sweaty. I'm just not that excited about it. But when I consider that I could move into a place of faith that I've never known, that I could have faith that I've never seen, not only me, there's a possibility I could move into a place of faith that I've never seen anybody have. I've been around Brother Copeland and Brother Hagin and Shambach and and all these guys. Man, they've got a lot of faith. Look what they've done for the kingdom of God. But there's a possibility that if I would really desire it and pray and get into the Word of God, that my faith could take me not only to where I haven't been, but to where no man has gone before. Oh, there's a place of faith. And you know what? Not one of you are disqualified from that dream, that aspiration. You could get to the place where you could have faith that whatsoever you desire, you could pray for it. It'd be sitting in your driveway. It'd be sitting at your dinner table. Your child would be saved. Your child would come back. Your marriage would just be on fire again. Suddenly you would flourish in whatever area of life that you desire. There is such a place in faith, but not many people are enticed to go there. Not many people are compelled to go there. But I want this to become a faith church. I want it to get to this place where people just walk in here and say, praise God, you know my sister's dying of cancer, Pastor. Yeah, well, the doctor gave her up and gave her 24 hours. I just marched in there and put my hands on my sister and praise God. I want to introduce you to her. She's right here. She got a lot. I want to see that in this church, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want people just to walk in here and say, Pastor, you know, I never was afforded much education. I had to drop out of school when I was a freshman in high school and support my single mother, so I didn't have the benefit of getting a degree. But I started this little business, and it did all right for a while. But I got great faith. Just listen to the Word of God. That aspiration just got beside me. And you know what? I began to desire it. I began to desire a business that would flourish, not only take care of me and my wife and three kids, but I could help all my family and some of my neighbors, and I could help some people here in the church, and I could give to missionaries, and I could support the work of God. And you know what, Pastor? I just heard that faith, and I realized that I was not prevented and exempted from being a great man of faith, and I just began to desire, and I began to pray. And let me tell you about my business. I was doing all right. I was making $85,000 a year after all of our expenses. But you know, this past year, praise God, we made $1,750,000 profit after all the bills were paid. I want to encourage some people to become all that you can be. I want to encourage some people to get beyond all of the so-called limitations and realize that faith doesn't know anything about ceilings. Faith does not know anything about limitation. Faith does not mean you got to stop now. You're being too blessed. Oh, friend, I want to get to the place where we are alive with faith. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you. Now, he's talking to the church of Thessalonica. He went down there and preached a revival to Thessalonica. These were heathens. They were into Judaism. They were into all kinds of things. He went down there to Thessalonica, and he preached, praised God, and had a revival, and they got saved by the hundreds and the thousands. And now he's writing his second letter to them, and he said, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren. He said, every day I think about you, I just say, thank God for the church in Thessalonica. He said, I thank God. He knew some of them by name and some of them by face, but he said, when I think about you, I just thank God for you. And he said, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. He said, in other words, you used to have faith, but not like you do now. Your faith has grown exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He said, your faith has grown exceedingly. Praise God. That's what I desire for myself. And whatever I desire for myself, I desire for you. I want my faith to grow. I want to have growing faith, praise God. I don't want my faith to get smaller or diminish. I want my faith to get bigger. I want to believe God for things I've never believed God for, see things I've never done, never seen before. I want God to be able to use me miraculously, shockingly. I want Him to shock all of my friends. I want Him to shock all of my family. I want Him most of all to shock me. Praise God. God wants to do a work in you when you get up in the mirror and you're saying, my Lord, is it really me? It's really you. Look what the Lord has done. You know where you started out, but praise God, you start getting in the Word just little by little. You loved that old 23rd Psalm, but praise God, after a while, you moved to another verse. It was a little harder to digest, but you wallowed that thing around and chewed it like a tough steak, praise God, and finally got it down. When me and my daddy used to take me to the field when I was a kid, he'd get up at the crack of dawn. I always get up so early. I didn't want to get up. And then he'd drag in the kitchen and start dragging out some kind of food he had found in the refrigerator and warm it up and fix it together. And, oh, man, he'd just mix everything together. But I remember he'd always say this. He'd say, I want like a jelly sandwich would be what. He said, no, eat some of these. He said, this will stick to your ribs, praise God. He was talking about not milk. He's talking about meat, praise God. Now, I love to see people come in here and get happy and rejoice. And, oh, that's just the element I love. I want to see it every Sunday and every Wednesday. But praise God, I don't want you just to live on jelly sandwiches, praise God. I want to give you some meat word that's going to give you some meat faith. And when you get in there and the devil comes in like a flood before the Lord can ever get there to raise up the standard, you've punched the devil in the snout twice, and the Lord said, well, I was coming, why didn't you wait on me? Said, I got anxious, Lord. I just wanted to punch you before you got here, because I got so much faith that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world, that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper, that there's not a trial that can stop me, there's not a curse that can't be reversed, there's nothing that can't be turned around. Praise God, I just got that kind of faith. What kind of faith you got? I got big faith. I got meat faith. I got tough faith, praise God. I've got growing faith. Oh, I remember last year I had some big faith, but you know what? I got bigger faith this year. Every year ought to be bigger, praise God. Every day ought to be better, because your faith ought to be growing. I believe that God can. Not only can, I believe that God will, praise God. I believe God wants to bless me. I don't believe that God wants to give me just enough to get by or even fill me up. God wants me to have faith and spirit and power and miracles that simply run over. There's a reason why God runs stuff over. You can sit in a crowded restaurant, a beautiful restaurant, with cotton white or linen white tablecloths, and everybody just eating so quietly, and they fill up water glasses all over the room. But if a waiter would, looking around, just overflowed a cup, it flows down on the, everybody stops and starts looking at the overflow. Overflow gets attention when nothing else does, praise God. God wants to overflow you. David said, my cup overflows. You know, we try to witness, but just quoting scriptures, it doesn't really knock people out. And just saying, oh, you know, I love Jesus, I just don't get him by the throat. But praise God, if your life starts to overflow, if all of a sudden you've got joy you've never had, you've got peace like a river, it just becomes evident. If you drive up in a car that your job doesn't support, they say, how do you drive? We got the same job, we making the same money, and I'm driving that rattle trap and you're driving that, what happened? Well, I guess I overflowed a little bit. Oh, me and my husband, we're going to move into a new house. How are you going to afford that? I know y'all make, oh, I guess we overflowed a little bit. When you overflow, you get everybody's attention. God wants to overflow you. First of all, because he loves you. But secondly, God wants you to gain people's attention so you can testify of the glory of the Lord. God, the greatest testimony is, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. You want to know where I came from, and now you want to see where I am. You want to see what I didn't have, and now you want to see what I do have. It's called overflow, God. And so praise God, some of you are full, and you're just happy to be full. But praise God, it's like Samuel Rodriguez preached at Rod Parsons' camp meeting. I watched it on streaming. Praise God, he wants to make a messy miracle. One of those messy miracles where nobody can control it. Everybody's got their cloth out, their napkin, trying to sop it up. Everybody got up from their table trying, oh, you've made a mess here. What happened? I just got overflowed, praise God. I can't contain it all. That's what he said. He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you're not able to contain. That's what God said. That's what he wants to. Some of you are still containing all the blessings that God has sent to you, which tells me what? That you're still operating on milk faith. Because when you get to meat faith, praise God, you're going to get to the place where you got more miracles than you can use. You're going to be like they were when they got through, ready to leave. The Passover came, and they're getting ready to leave Egypt. He said, hey, get you a lamb. But he said, if it's too big, he said, share it with your neighbor, praise God. God wants to tell you that the Lamb of God is too big. He wants to tell you that the Holy Ghost is too big, that you're healing, praise God. You're not only going to get healed, you're going to shake hands with somebody, and they're going to get healed just because they shook hands with you, because you're just sloshing around in overflow. That's what it means to get that meat faith, praise God. So how do we grow our faith? He said we can. He said your faith groweth. How do we grow our faith? It depends on how much of the word we will endure. You know, the real transition from milk faith to meat faith is when you quit enduring the things of God and start enjoying the things of God. You remember when you wasn't saved or you first got saved, you're thinking about getting saved, and you just sat in church all the time? Said, I think they got 17 more minutes to go. I think. And you'd go out, your kidneys wasn't even working. You'd go out and pretend they were working. Some of you went out like you had a kidney problem 2 or 3 times. Had a baby, pinched the baby to get the baby to cry. You're just enduring the service. But something happened to you. You got an appetite. You got a desire. You transform from endurance to enjoyment. And you start loving the presence of God. In his presence is fullness of joy. Oh, it was a great day, ladies and gentlemen, when I went from conviction to enjoyment. Oh, I used to go to church for, I was just a kid. I'd get saved, I'd get so miserable. I was under conviction. Conviction ain't a fun thing. It's just not a fun thing. But praise God. Now in his presence there is fullness of joy. I don't feel that conviction anymore. I just want to sit up close. Praise God. I want to hear more. I hope they say something. You know, I want to shout. I'm just looking for a place to shout. I hope they say, you know, because you look stupid when you're shouting. The guy's not saying anything worth shouting. You just look stupid. I wish he'd say something because I got to shout just waiting to happen. If he'd just give me a chance, I'd shout. If he'd just give me a half a chance, I'd praise God. He ain't said nothing worth praising God over, but I got to praise in here. But if I praise God, people are going to think I'm funny. But please say something, sir, where I can jump up and just shout. Why? Because I enjoy this thing. Because I'm living in the overflow. Praise God. My faith is growing every day. I've got bigger expectations at 68 than I had at 28. Praise God. Oh, why? Because I'm living on that meat word. I'm living on that meat faith. Praise God. I'm just expecting God to do something so big in my life. Oh, so big in my ministry. The reason why you want it in your ministry, it's not just you. Then now when you have a ministry, it's affecting other people. I want God's miracles to be so strong in me that they can't be contained in me, that they're contagious, that they're influential, that they reach out and help other people. They change other people. Praise God. And so God said you can do that, but you got to get out of that endurance into the enjoyment. Praise God. You know the reason why we have a bigger crowd on Sunday than we do on Wednesday? You got two groups of people. You got the people that enjoy it. That's you. You're here on Wednesday. Then you got the people that endure it. That's on Sunday. You put the enduring crowd with the enjoyment crowd, and that's called a Sunday service. That's the reason why it's always a little harder to preach and serve on Sunday than it is on Wednesday, because you got to preach to not only the people that are enjoying it, you got to preach to the people that are enduring it and say, Marge, is he about through? What time we get out of here? How long does it usually go? So you got to deal with those people. So it's a different atmosphere. If you get everybody in the house of God and everybody there is enjoying it, whoo, you talk to these worshipers and these singers over here. It's just totally different. It's just totally different. You know that. When you just begin to worship, it depends. You sing your song, hit the same notes, everything's the same. But it's different when there's a whole bunch of people out there enjoying it. If there's a bunch of people out there and enduring it, you just do the best you can. Same thing in teaching the Word of God, in preaching the Word of God. if you just got people enduring it, you get along as best you can. But praise God, you get a crowd of people that's enjoying it. No wonder the Bible tells us in the tabernacle of David, they amen the word of God. They stood up and praised God. Oh, why? Because they were enjoying the praise of God. Now, in Moses' tabernacle, they were just enduring it. They were just hoping they weren't going to get killed for their sins. But by the time David came in there, the man after God's own heart, he said, hey, there used to be an old song. Remember it, Becky? Enjoy in Jesus. You didn't know I could sing. Boy, that was great, wasn't it? Enjoy in Jesus. How many people ever heard that song? Praise God. Sister Becky, stand up and give us a little bit of it.
Enjoy in Jesus. Hallelujah. Enjoy in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, I used to love that song. Woo! See, that's the difference between denominational churches and Holy Ghost-filled churches. They're enduring the service, and we're enjoying the service. Praise God. I enjoy. Oh, I enjoy myself. But then I enjoy seeing Sister Tammy dance and praise God. I enjoy seeing one of the brothers over here begin to praise God. I'm just enjoying the whole thing. Somebody's singing, somebody's crying, somebody's shouting. It don't matter to me. It's all good, ain't it? It's just the presence of Almighty God. And my expectation is going off the chart. I'm saying, whoo, somebody's going to get saved today. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost today. Somebody's going to get healed from cancer today. Somebody's going to get set free today. Oh, somebody's going to come to God today. Woo! My expectation. Woo! It's big. Woo! Oh, I feel it right now. Praise God. I just expect somebody in this building to get healed. I wouldn't be shocked if somebody, before I got through, I'm going to be through here in about 5 or 10 minutes, but praise God. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody just start dancing down the aisle and saying, praise God, that word just began to turn over in me. And praise God, I got meat faith. And thank God, I just felt like God healed my body. I just felt like God took away my heart condition or my cancer or my glaucoma. I just felt like God healed my back. I felt like God worked in my knees. I'm not going to need that knee replacement now. Woo! I expect that in the kingdom of God. I expect that in the house of God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is in this room right now. Somebody get the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody can get delivered right now. Somebody can get liberated right now. Somebody can get healed right now. Somebody can get the power of God right now in the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, I got just page after page of this stuff I want to share with you tonight. But I told you, I'm not going to share it all tonight. We're all going to get back here. Praise God. All of us are going to live for another service. We're going to get back here. I'll bring some more to you. But right now, what I am saying, I'm just enjoying what's happening. My expectation's off the chart. My faith is saying yay and amen. Somebody's got exactly what they needed. Somebody just reach out there in the Holy Ghost and get the job you need. Praise God. God will do it right here tonight in the Spirit, and then it'll manifest in the flesh on Thursday. Somebody go ahead and get the job you need in the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Sister Mandy, you're just so blessed to be such a great writer in these books, but one of these days you're going to write one, and praise God, it's going to sell 1 million copies. Woo, that's going to be something. That's going to be something, praise God. Oh, there's people, I don't know your situation as well as I do her, but some of you are on the verge. You just need to get off the milk faith and get up in the meat faith, praise God, and God's going to turn your life around. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel it all over me, praise God. It's all over me, praise God. I feel God's Spirit. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel faith. It's just all coming down right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah! Oh, praise God, praise God. Shitokosoto lobahaha. Woo! Be ye healed in Jesus' name. Be ye delivered in Jesus' name. Receive that money you need in Jesus' name. Get that loan you need in Jesus' name. Get that job you want. Claim your children in Jesus' name. Get that spouse you want in Jesus' name. Revitalize that marriage in Jesus' name. Give God some praise all over this house. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Sister Peterman, Praise God, is dinner ready yet? Hallelujah. She told me the other day, said, you didn't preach very long, but she said, when you can cook good, it don't take long to get a meal. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody right now, you're just, the word of God has just brought you to the precipice. You're just ready to step off. Just ready to step off in it. Praise God. Your life will be changed forever. Your life will be changed forever. Make some kind of an action right now. I don't care what it is. You just make some kind of an action that says, God, I receive this word tonight. And praise God, I'm going up into meat word and meat faith. Praise God. And I'm going to see you manifest your hand in my being to where I enjoy everything God is doing. It's contagious. It overflows on everybody that comes in contact with me. If God is speaking to you right now about what he's getting ready to do in your life, I want you to step out of your pew and run down to this altar. And while they're doing that, I want the rest of you to put your hands up as high as you can. And I want you to begin to worship God as divinely and desperately as you can. I want you to let your voice be heard. I want your hand clap to be heard. I want your dance to be seen. I want your praise to be magnified. I want your faith to be manifest in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Whatever you desire when you pray, you will believe and you will receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I tell you what I'm believing for, God. I'm believing that there's going to be a miracle so big in this church that it's going to inspire the rest of us. And praise God, we're going to see that big miracle and say, if it happened to her or happened to him, it's going to happen to me. And miracles are just going to begin to overflow and become contagious one right after another. It's going to be noised abroad on your job, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your family, in our community, in this city. There's something happening at Living Way Church. Miracles are being poured out. Signs and wonders are happening. Faith is off the chart. Expectation is crazy out there. And they're seeing God do things in their life that they've been waiting for all of their life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm getting ready to agree with you. When I touch you, that means I'm agreeing.